Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I am your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi on stage. You can find me on stage. I don't know when, because I actually don't know when I'm going to be booked next, and you're probably tired of me saying this, but yeah, hopefully by the time this is out, I will be on stage again, but for now, you'll just have to come find me online. I stream exclusively on Streammates, so you can find me under Sia on camera. I'm over there. I do have an OnlyFans. I don't know why I never mentioned that, but the conversation is never on me, so that's why I never advertise it, but it's there. The links, you can find all the spicy links wherever. And I have also dabbled in sugar babying, and that's kind of how I started in the industry over a decade ago. And now I do this show to kind of highlight and bring on people from different corners of the industry to talk about sex work, to talk about destigmatizing the work, destigmatizing the industry, to educate, to humanize, for people to have like a better understanding of what the work actually entails and what it is really all about. So that's just me. That's just a bit about the show. Hi, if you're new here. Glad that you're here. And also hello to many, many longtime listeners. I'm also going to say hello to all the Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much for your financial support. I super appreciate it. If you are not aware, I do have Patreon. It is patreon.com/strippedbysia, and all of that money goes towards hosting on my website, which is strippedbysia.com, and also goes towards if I'm attending any adult industry events. And right now I am not, because this first half of the year is just absolutely chaotic. So I'm sorry. The last one was at AVNs, and even then I was like an antisocial person. So I am sorry. But that's just kind of where your money goes. You also get the episodes a week or two earlier than the public, which is really great. And you also get, video exclusive access. You get kind of a sneak peek on who's coming on the show, what kind of topics we're going to be talking about. I also take listener requests as well, lots of fan requests as much as I can. So all that stuff is there. And again, you can find me on patreon.com/strippedbysia if you're interested in subscribing. I have tiers starting at as low as $4 a month, which is super, super cheap. And it kind of goes up from there. So be sure to check it out. And again, as I mentioned, every week I bring on someone different onto the show. I've been doing this every week for the past 5 years, which has been super fun. So again, we're not just bringing on talent and performers, but we're also bringing people behind the scenes, producers, you have sex toy companies, you have like nonprofit organizations, we have lawyers that help benefit and fight for sex worker rights. So a really, really cool mix of people that come onto the show. But we are taking it in front of the camera today with performer Agatha Vega, who's in the house today. In the house, I mean, we're obviously remote, but she is on our continent right now. She is here currently visiting in Los Angeles, which is super fun. And I'm super stoked to get to know her better. If you are not familiar with Agatha or Agatha's work, you might have seen her on major porn production companies and agencies, you know, Vixen, Black Gut Tushy, just to name a few. But she is a wonderful porn star. I am going to be stoked to talk about her experience in the industry, specifically because she does most of her work overseas in Europe. So I'm just really curious to see what the vibe is over there, learn more about her story, her experience. And if people are interested in getting involved over there in the European market, there's a huge market on that side of the world. And I know the show is basically a lot of North American based, but we did have a couple episodes dedicated to work in Japan, what that looks like as well. So I think it's really interesting to see and gain different perspectives, which Agatha will be sharing with us shortly. But for now, she's waiting to speak. Agatha, are you there?
I'm here. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you. And yeah, I'm just really stoked to have you on and for you to take the time out of your super crazy, chaotic, busy schedule. So thank you so much.
Thank you for finding time. I wanted to do as much as, yeah, like this kind of interaction with people in here, just podcasts and everything. But you have to like book, like they have to know with time, no? Like even with months. So the ones I found now I feel like it was great because I didn't plan from before. That, so I'm happy that I got the opportunity.
Yay! Yeah, and I've been watching a ton of your clips on like some of the other podcasts that are on. We just had Matt Slayer on the show of the And Now We Drink podcast, and he has had so many great things to say about you. So I'm just stoked to get to know you. Fun. Yeah, he's a super fun guy, and we love him. And he's like, next year you're in LA, you gotta come on the show. I'm like, yes, I will let you know. But again, the show is not about me. It's not the show's not about Matt. The show's about you today. So I'm excited to get to know you, and for my audience to get to know you as well a bit better. So I just kind of quickly try to do as much research as I can on you before we got on the show. But I feel like it's like just a sprinkle of things, because I actually can't find too much of you except for obviously all of your amazing porn videos. But I'd love to throw it back to you and, you know, give yourself the opportunity to describe to the audience who you are in your own words and terms.
All right. Well, okay, if I had to describe myself, I don't know, the basic things, I born in Venezuela and I moved to Spain like 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm from Venezuela. Many people think I'm from Spain, but I'm not. It's not the same accent. We speak Spanish, but not the same. And yeah, I've been in the industry more or less since I moved to Spain. And I don't know, I'm just, well, for some people that know me, I just like to be good vibes. I try to be good vibes, just make people smile. I like to smile a lot. If you see my socials, I'm going to be all the time like, because my fans love that. So lately I'm always, you know, what I'm creating, like my character and growing up in the industry. So I don't know, I consider myself like a easygoing person. Sometimes I'm a bit crazy, but I'm a nice person. I just like to make people smile and have a good time. I like to be in the nature. I like Tenerife because of that. I live in the beach. There's just beach. So that's what I like. I like to be in nature and beautiful landscapes and travel and just also spend a lot of time with my family and people I love. So that's bit, what can I say for me?
I guess. That's you in a nutshell. That's great. And like, well, I did know that you were from Venezuela, because I did Google that. I think it's on Wikipedia or something over there. But you have been working in Spain for, yes, a good 4 or 5 years now. I want to know, how does a girl from Venezuela get herself over to Spain? And did you have a contract? Were you approached on Twitter or X at the time? Because that's how a lot of us have started, is by sliding into the DMs, or someone slid into the DMs or have been recruited somehow. But I'd love to hear like your story and how you actually got into the industry.
So my story, people ask me, I feel it's like a boring story because it didn't happen too much. It just someone contacted me when I moved to Spain on Instagram, if I'm not wrong. And they just directly asked me if I want to be in the adult industry. And I was kind of doing something similar before, like I was already selling my content in other platforms, so, and I was doing solo, so that was great. I was like, okay, I don't know who is these people, I don't know if they're gonna rape me, but let's do it. But I always take decisions like this, and for lucky, I always end up in good experience. No, like I didn't have that many like horrible things.
Oh so. My gosh, knock on wood, and also YOLO as well.
Life, who cares?
That's exactly. Crazy. I mean, like, I only know one person I knew personally that has worked in Europe, and she's actually from Vancouver, but I don't even know if she's even doing porn anymore. But I don't know if you know Alyssa Reese, but she was based, more like
I met her when I started to shoot. She's so cute.
She is so cute. I love her.
She's so good, guys. But yeah, I think that's how many girls are being contacted now. Mostly when girls like for OnlyFans, people, agencies are searching for new girls, new talents all the time. So they just contact on Instagram, Twitter. So now it's more easy. I don't know before, I guess, with an agency and I don't know. But now you just, if you want to just be in the adult industry, you just write some people and for sure you can be.
Yeah, get people's attention for sure. I guess, okay, so let's back it up a little bit too, because you mentioned you're already doing some solo content already. Was this already still back in Venezuela that you were doing this stuff? And was it like OnlyFans or similar platforms that they might have down there or...
And yeah, that was before OnlyFans, I think didn't exist yet. So I was selling my content on Kik. I don't know if you ever...
Yeah, Kik. Oh my God, that's so old school. Oh my God.
I mean, I discovered Kik before it was like now, no? Like now, I think people, not many people use Kik. And before it was like a big market. And well, now with OnlyFans, like everything's OnlyFans. But yeah, for that time, I love Kik, but it was a lot of work. So I'm actually glad that there is OnlyFans right now. But yeah, I was doing solo. And I mean, also solo for... solo productions. They had some photographer in Venezuela for Watch for Beauty. That's like the first company ever I started to work with. And it was just solos, like beautiful, beauty, glam style. So yeah, that's what I was doing. So I didn't feel it was a big step, you know, changing from solo and content to pop.
No, but totally.
I guess I don't do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, for those, and I'm just really digging because I always dig deep, but talking about, like, you know, getting started on Kik, and for those who don't know what Kik is or was, it got shut down a long time ago, but I think they are actually back up and running, but it's another encrypted messaging app, kind of like today's version of Telegram or, like, Signal or some similar platforms too. But I know that some people like were in groups or like they would like sell photos or sell sets or do FaceTiming kind of things and stuff too. Like, how did you actually get involved with Kik and also with that studio based in Venezuela? Was it something you had heard of before or something you did your own research or like friends or whatnot? Or like, what is that story? Can you tell the story?
Yeah. No, I wish I had friends that were like in this world in Venezuela, but no, in Venezuela, I don't know. And now you see, no, with OnlyFans, like every girl's doing OnlyFans, but before, I don't know, like I didn't feel there was so many girls in the industry in Venezuela. But anyway, and always because people contact me, the same for Kik, like it was it was a guy, he ran the profile of girls and he contacted girls like to start the profile, and I didn't have idea, I was just interested on money, and
of course
like that was interesting. So, and he started to like manage my profile. And I was doing great. So then at some point I told him like, okay, I can do by myself. So then I started to do by myself. But it's, yeah, like Kik, it's a lot of work. And you had to do verification and bump every day. Like every day you had to be active. It was a lot. And also for the solo production, they just contact me and on Instagram. They also do the same. Like they just always searching girls. Mostly now from Latin America, so they have many models from Colombia and they have the photographer there, so they just offer you, yeah, if you want to sell every set how much money, and you work there. So it was good. I mean, it was, I like to be model for nude, boudoir, erotic, glam, so that was nice. I like that style, so I was lucky. I mean, I was working in things like easy but nice, because in Venezuela it's also like not allowed to do nothing, not like porn.
Yes, like I wanted to ask you about that. Like, what is the landscape? It is criminalized down there in Venezuela, or it's just like not allowed, it's outlawed, it's like not a thing?
Yeah, no, it's as far as I know, it's not allowed, but now many girls do it, but they have problems. Like I'm not sure, because luckily I have my Spanish passport, so I can just work with my Spanish ID. But yeah, like it's not allowed. So many girls, they cannot work with OnlyFans. They cannot have an account in Venezuela. You cannot do pics, like sexy pics on the street. You cannot go topless on the beach. None of these things. God. So,
wow. Yeah. Yeah, because I remember I did an episode back in like season 2, and we're also talking about cybersex laws in Philippines, and it's also a thing where it's it's just not allowed. It's not a thing. Like the person that I had interviewed, Silla Misalvi, hello, had to get like her own like private VPN to get her OnlyFans going and like clip sites and stuff like that. But yeah, so like again, conversations like this and like having you having this perspective and this background is so important to tell because again, myself, born and raised here in Canada and just North America in general is generally very liberal. We're okay, but of course in many countries it still can be highly, highly stigmatized and straight up just not allowed.
Yeah, like stigmatized, but anyway, it happens, not the just the they just have these rules, but everybody in the world now is doing sex work.
Yes. And like compared to like your time back in KIK too, like, you know, it sounds like it was maybe around the same time that I was doing like sugaring and there was like no one to talk to because it was so hush hush. No one ever did it before. It's just like it was kind of like the best kept secret kind of thing. But then as you said now, like, you know, fast forward, it's 2024. It's so much more normalized to be like, oh, she has an OnlyFans or, oh, she has, you know, Fansly or whatever. Or she's important. Yeah. Like, I find that to be so common now too. But
yeah, true. I feel the same way.
But speaking about porn, so let's get back on your story. So after this, you've done a bunch of solo content creation by yourself. You take the leap to Spain and then you were contacted, you mentioned. So tell us, if you can remember, tell us and bring us back to that time where you got this DM. You don't know who this person is. You don't know if legitimate or not, but walk us through.
I mean, I wish I had a better memory because honestly, my memory is so shit with everything. But I just remember for that time, like it was depressing, no? Because it was COVID. So, and it was kind of when COVID started that I got the proposal. So we were already like 6 months in the house without going out. And I was so like depressed while trying to do my OnlyFans. But I was so ignorant. Like I didn't actually went to Spain thinking like, okay, I'm going to do this career or anything. I didn't thought about this. So when I received the proposal, I just thought, okay, like, this is amazing. Let's do it. Yeah, I don't know who is these people. I don't have no one to ask a reference. Like, it's okay. This is safe. But I just wanted to change my life. Yeah, like many things. I just moved from Venezuela, so I just want to start like a new life. So I say yeah. Like I didn't think too much about it. I mean, when they spoke about the test and stuff, I was scared because I think, honestly, I never done like a STD test before and start to work in the industry. And like, right. People don't really care about this. And I mean, not in my social, no, where I, with the people I was around. So I was nervous, but then everything just happened. And then I end up working with them a lot. So they became some kind of like family. I mean, so it was great experience. I had a great experience. I was so lucky. I always say I'm so ignorant because I didn't know nothing, but everything just happened great. Like I didn't have a bad experience. Like I heard other models, you know, like it's not the same for everyone. So
yeah, it definitely varies, you know, from individual to individual. But I mean, there's a lot of firsts there for you. So again, moving from Venezuela to Spain is one thing. So yes, same language, yes, but you know, can be a bit of a culture shock. You being alone in a new place can be completely terrifying. And also going from solo creation to boy-girl content or girl content even. There's just a lot.
Everything was new for me, so. But it was great. Great experience. Just that's good experience.
Good. I'm curious about like going back to collaborating with people and working with people because you've done your own stuff before. Lots of little content creation. But were you ever nervous when you had like your first scene with someone, whether it's girl or boy-girl? tell us about that. Or were you just a complete natural?
So you mean about like my first experience? So my first scene was a boy girl, and it was in Ibiza. So the first trip I've done to Ibiza, and it was so good. I was so nervous. I was, of course, so nervous. Like, I don't speak dirty, not even in my private life. And I have this problem. Like, it's really hard for me to watch someone in the eyes. So I was like, ah! You can see, and I think it happens with everyone. No? Most of the girls, like, you can see from the first videos that they, you are so different. Like, I was so shy, like, but that's nice, yeah, because you can see the change through the years. And I was so nervous, but again, like, I'm so lucky because I got to work my first scene with Alberto. I don't know, he's a male performer, one of the most popular in Spain, and he's so funny. So we just had a lot of fun. Like, he was so nice, so we just felt good, and everybody was so nice. No, at first, also when they are meeting the model, it's like they want to treat her the best. So everything was so cute. No, aww. Like holidays, paid holidays, and then yeah, all the people I met was cool. And the first scene, I don't remember, like, something hard. Just I laugh a lot when we had to do the dialogue. Like, it was really hard for me also to keep serious. nothing crazy, just good
times. Vibes all around. Yeah. That sounds like
it. It was really nice. And I was so excited, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this work. Yeah, I'm going to start to travel a lot. And then when you start to travel a lot, like, I think everybody feels sometimes like, okay, I just want to be home already. But at first, the first year, 2 years was really nice. I love it.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Like, because it can be so hard. It can be very nerve-wracking, especially if it's something you've never done before. And even just like, did you have to prep for anything too? Because you also mentioned it was kind of a bit of a shock, or the whole STD test and that testing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is, I guess, the only, like, bad thing. Yeah, if I have to be honest, when I did the test, I got the chlamydia I had. And so I was thinking, wow, how long maybe I had this? No, because I never done this test before. And I go to gynecologist, but I think it's not the same. No, now that I go too much to gynecologists and blood tests, like, what they show here is not the same. So whatever. And I was so sad. That was the only thing that was sad, because I don't know why I didn't expect, like, no, I'm going to be totally fine. I never done a test, but of course not. So the first days, I was already in Ibiza, but I couldn't work because I was sick. So I had to take treatment, and I was crying. I remember I was crying, like, oh no. But it's so stupid, just because I felt bad, not that I was, like, kind of arriving to this industry, like, in bad way, you know, like, this girl's so sick and I mean, I never done tests before, and now it's like, it's common, and now I say to my friends, like, hey, you should do tests. No,
yeah,
like, I do the test. So that's something good about the industry. It makes you take care of yourself more than when you were in the industry.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Because you always get these comments, and, like, this is just towards sex workers in general. I get these comments sometimes too. But it's just like, oh, like, what, like, the whole attitude that sex workers are quote unquote dirty. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to catch something. I'm like, actually, the likelihood of you catching something from a sex worker is actually probably really low, because we get tested all the time. Like, it's part of our job. Yeah.
That's something I appreciate, yeah, also from this work.
No, totally. Yeah, I agree. I mean, going back to I'm, like, kind of going around, all bouncing around with their story, but, like, yeah, I'm just curious, because, like you said, you got approached in Instagram with a DM. You were like, okay, I'm excited. I don't know anything about this. And this is also during COVID as well, so it was the whole thing. But, like, how were you able to vet the company? or was it just like, I'm just going to jump 2 feet in and just pray and hope it works out? Because, like, how would that work with, like, tickets and flights and accommodation? Because you have to do it under your real name and stuff too. So I'm just curious, how did you navigate around that?
Okay, I don't know if I understood exactly the question you're doing. Like, if I care about these things when I first started.
When you first started, like, how were you able to vet the company that was messaging you on DM? Because there's a lot of companies or agencies that are actually, like, fake and they're scam and, you know, are not real. So how were you able to tell and legitimize that this company, oh, it's actually a real company and this is a real thing and not a fake thing. I'm not going to get raped.
Well, actually, yeah, I don't feel like I did so much research. I just probably watch. They send me like some links. I had to fill some information on their website and the application if you want to be the model. And then I saw the website, no? Like they say, yeah, if you want to work with Vixen, Tushy, and well, they had this website. So that was enough
for me. Enough.
And this place exists and they say they work for them. But yeah, now I look in the past and yeah, like again and again, like I was so lucky because yeah, I didn't got to have this experience that I got contacted by weird people because it could be whoever and I would say yeah anyway, but at the end it were the real person. So yeah, and then from there of course I got the reference and I trust the agency, so wherever they send me more or less I was like okay. And then I learned with the years, no, like you have to be way more picky, you know, and ask and everything and get all the information you can before do anything. But before, in the first year, I was not like this. I was like, yeah.
I'll take everything.
Exactly. That's why also I did like my first anal really soon.
And I was going to ask. Like,
the 2 months since I started, I did my first anal. So.
Oh my gosh. And how did that go for you? Because you got to prep. You got to prep for anal scenes. Like you can't eat and like...
it was stressful, but also well, not like a bad experience. Just
wish you could have been like, you know, more prepped in a way. Like
I wish, yeah, because on that time, yeah, like I didn't have no one or like friends in the industry or nothing to ask. Hey, how can I do this? So I just had a few people from the agency trying to explain me. But it's okay, yeah, because then you learn by yourself. Okay, you can see this difference. Like the first scene I do anal, I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. But then you learn and you do better. So it's okay. It's nice to see how you change.
You live and you learn, right? You live and you learn. Yeah. You experience the things, and the more experience you get, then the better and more comfortable you are. You mentioned agencies, so like, how does it work in Europe? Like, because you signed up for this company, they scouted you. Do you then sign a contract? What does that contract entail? Does that enable you to work with them on a specific number of scenes? Or like, how does that work?
Well, again, with my memory. My memory is so shit. I don't remember to sign a contract. That's also... like something I see, no, here that they do contract, no, like per years or something. Some agencies, no, because some of them I heard no, but I think in Europe, as far as I remember, I didn't sign a contract. Maybe I did the first year, but I mean I did like a contract, you know, with the Biggs and no Tushy. I remember when I did my anal, but it's like a short contract, no, like okay, you cannot shoot for 2-3 months for other anal scenes. But not like this kind of contract that you have to be just with this agency for 1-2 years. No, actually, that's something about Europe that I see is different. It's just different. There you can work with all the agencies, no? Because also they work in different countries. Here it's just LA, so it's different. But there, I can work with all the agencies, so they can all find me different works. And maybe they have some problems between agencies, but... it's okay. Like you can work with different agencies, and I appreciate that. Like I can get work.
I like that though, because yeah, like it's not as like competitive, or maybe it is on the agency side. Maybe it is actually competitive, but that doesn't affect you. You're getting work. You're getting booked, and that works out. Because like I find, yeah, in the North America, it's almost like exclusivity or non-competes.
Yeah. And I understand. I mean, yeah, here is different. There is one agency is like in Prague, the other one is like in Budapest. So it's okay. Yeah, like they all work kind of different places. So
yeah. So that's good. So like, are you, I guess you're able to have a nice working schedule in terms of like getting to travel around. It's so easy to get around Europe too, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's not that long. Well, I mean, here you work here, no? It's in LA. So, but there, yeah, like you work different countries, but anyway, the flights are not that long. So, but then you can get tired, no?
You still get tired regardless of what continent or country you're in. It can be really exhausting. Are there any like major differences or similarities that you see with agency work or even just with your time in Europe, or the just more like stylistic differences and how scenes are shot in that kind of perspective? Or
so, well, like I didn't get to work here too much. I cannot say that much, but what I see in, yeah, I mean, there's few differences starting by that, that in Europe is like you work in different countries. So it's different. Because also here, agencies don't really care about pay ticket and hotel and everything. In Europe, yes, but it's different. So they care about everything, like almost Uber and the food that you eat, everything. Like they have to pay pretty much everything. Here it's not like that. Like you have to pay from your money. And they also ask productions for percentage, and in Europe it's not like that. Like they already charge the percentage to the production, so that you don't have to pay the agency. So that's like the difference I see. And also like a shoot for Bixen and Tushy in Europe, I like more. You know, I didn't shoot with them here because I didn't get the chance. But I see they shoot here, no? So it's maybe more easy for girls, more comfy, for sure. But I like that in Europe they take you, like, travel different places. Maybe you thought you never been. Like, they took us to Maldives and this kind of places. Yeah, it's like, okay, maybe some people don't like to travel so far for work. But, I mean, I like it. Like, for me, it's great. Like, that, yeah. Hey, holidays. Yeah. And go and enjoy and work a bit. So that's like the difference I've seen.
Oh yeah, that's huge. Yeah, because like how we're here in North America, so Canada and I mean obviously the States specifically for porn, yeah, we're treated as like independent contractors, so they'll pay you that, you're responsible for other expenses. So like, yeah, as you mentioned, like,
yeah, at first I was asking like, and they're not gonna pay my ticket, but here's not, it's okay. I mean, I understand. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, so it's like, just to get this straight then, so with agency work, and this is just specifically with agency work in Europe, when you're booked for something, you are booked for the shoot, which is paid, your accommodations, which is paid, your airfare, your food, your transportation to from the locations, all of that is taken care by the agency.
Yeah, I mean, also I don't want to say like it's like this, because I think for some girls it's not like this. I don't know what is the difference, you know. I don't know if because I don't know agencies care more about some girls or because I don't have idea, but for with me and with other girls I see in Europe, like majority of people that work in Europe, they get paid for everything. Yeah, like they take care of these expenses. So yeah, that's different from here.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So like, are you given like a per diem per day? So like you get X amount of dollars per day for food, X amount of dollars for...
You have to save the receipt and then you give the trip and then they pay everything. Yeah. They pay the flight tickets already, and then what is food and Uber, if the agency, maybe sometimes the agency, of course, like here, no, they have the drivers and they take you, they pick you up, they have model houses. I never stay in model houses, but I know they have, so they cover everything. Yeah, like stay in everything.
No, it's just so much easier. That's so nice. And it's just so nice to get that money back too. I know, because here we still have to like keep track of everything, but then like we have to do that and account that at the end of the year, which is around now for tax season. And then those are like write off. So like now I'm curious, like what is, and if you want to answer this, if you don't want to answer it, it's totally fine. But like how are taxes done over in Europe then too as an adult performer? Is that also is it something like an independent contractor or freelancer as well, or like creator or something like that?
So I think everybody choose to do the way they want. It's different, of course, again, but I do like, I don't know how to say this word in English, autónoma, no? Like I work by myself, so that's what I do in Spain. I'm autónoma, so I pay, well, my taxes of this, but we can find, you know, ways to just live more comfy. Ah, here I see. More hard with the taxes, like, ooh, it's so scary. Wow, like you cannot avoid many of the things here, no?
Yeah.
You can, I mean, depend. You can think about doing things. So, and the same, I mean, the agency just pay you the whole rate. Like if they had to pay taxes or whatever, they charge separately. So that's something you don't really have to worry about.
Worry about it. Okay.
Like, worry about your own shit.
No, fair enough. That's really cool. I mean, like, working with agencies, and I have so many questions. Agencies will probably take a percentage, like a cut out of your final pay, or that's already deducted out of your pay already, or like in terms of like they get a commission or a percentage of what your salary might be. You're like, I don't know about that. And that's okay if you don't know. I'm asking all the questions.
Whatever they do like by themselves. Like that's my experience. Like, no, I don't have to pay them nothing like per year or like a salary or like, I don't have to care about this. They just
pay your rate,
be here, and we already like took care of or stuff, so you just have to care about your stuff.
I love that. Going on to like, because we were just comparing the differences between like North American work and also overseas in Europe. Like, what was your motivation to come over to the USA? Was it more exposure, just trying something new, meet some new people you can collab with around the world? Like, talk to us about that.
All this together, I see the market here, of course, we all know is better, no? Like we all want to reach more people from USA, the clients. So, and also, yeah, like here, I feel like there are some of the most talent, porn stars and everything. So yeah, for sure. I wanted just to be in contact, to make myself more knowing here, because yeah, when you work there, it's different. Like people from here barely maybe know about you unless you are like real big name. So yeah, everything, and just curiosity, just to see how it is, like if it's worth it maybe to work more here than in Europe. But I don't know yet. I'm gonna see how it's gonna be.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fair. Yeah, I think that's like, those are completely valid reasons for sure too. And especially when you're wanting to branch out and just kind of seeing what else is out there. I think that's a super smart decision, because I haven't heard of many, at least I haven't talked to many folks that are doing what you're doing. So I think that's really nice to be a pioneer for that.
Yeah, here's way more active everything, no? Like about all the industry. So that's cool. Like all these podcasts and interviews happens here. Like, I don't know how much in Europe, but I don't see that's happening, or many people like be like, be so open. And I don't know, that's something cool from here. And I like it. I want to enjoy that while I'm still young.
That's really like, great. I mean, yes, as mentioned, like USA and like North America can be pretty open about the work too. Like, how has your experience in Spain been as well? Is it also pretty freeing as well in Europe that they're more, because in general, Europeans are much more liberal and open-minded about bodies, for one thing, about sex, about enjoying themselves in that kind of way. Still can be kind of taboo in North America, but like, what has been your experience there? Because especially LA, everyone's in porn. Everyone's doing something.
I don't know. In Europe, I see like people is open mind, but it's not the same. How you say, the same,
like vibe or attitude?
Oh, like group, you know, like.
How do you say it in Spanish?
community. It's not the same community. I mean, now it's becoming more in there, I feel, but I don't know. I don't know. For me, it's hard yet to see like the difference, because here I feel like you can find more things, like more just people more, like open. But it's also true that in Europe, the same. So, I mean, I'd never had like a bad experience in Europe, no? Like, people treat me bad because they know I'm a porn star or nothing like that. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty much the same. Just that here is more like the best, public, like,
oh, okay, for
the adult industry than in Europe. So, I don't know.
No.
It's the same.
there are a lot of similarities for sure. Absolutely. I mean, what about in terms of like work-wise? Do you find, and maybe you haven't worked enough here in the States, but like in terms of like getting active bookings and being booked all the time, and then this also might just depend on the agency you're signed with, but like, do you have work coming in pretty frequently, and how have you been able to find work here in the States? How's that all going?
I heard that people here get booked a lot, and they already like plan the whole year since it start, and I'm like, wow. I mean, not my case in Europe. Like, we just see, and maybe this month they offer me some stuff, but then personally I don't work like for many months, and then I work again. So, and I don't know how it's gonna be here. I think it's gonna be the same for me, because my experience, anyway, I don't want and I don't like to work that often. So I work a few times per month, but here it didn't been so hard. Like, I guess some people knew I was here, so they just contact me also like in private. So I got to work. I work a lot for VR. That's what I'm doing lately. So I don't know. I guess they see me in the community, you know, of VR. So they write me and they just reach me.
Oh, I should put you in touch with Banksy. Have you met Banksy? I think. Oh, actually, I don't know if she's based in LA. Banksy is. She's big in VR. She does a lot of VR stuff. I'll connect you later. I feel like she might be based in Austin though, in Texas. But I feel like she's always in LA all the time too. But I'll connect you guys.
Thank you. That's how I've been doing here. I mean, I'm also trying to, get in touch with the agencies and see if I can get the visa and just come here for work.
Fingers crossed. We'll have to do another follow-up episode too. Be like, and now I'm here living in LA.
That would be amazing.
Another question for you. In terms of pay and like rates and stuff too, is it similar to what you're getting paid for in Europe, or is it vastly different, or does that depend on each country to country as well?
More than the country, I think is the experience. Like, I if I talk about my personal experience, And yeah, like here it's been hard because it seems I cannot charge the same rate I charge in Europe. So that's got me thinking like, okay, but that's not going to change my plans. You know, I just think like, okay, I thought it would be different here, but, and I understand. And then when you see like from outside my experience, you see that people, yeah, charge more or less the same everywhere in Europe and US. Like, but I don't know. I also realized like some girls can charge something in Europe that you cannot charge in here. So I don't know why it's like this. I don't know if I don't know. I'm gonna realize when I'm more time here why is this difference, but. In general terms, I think, yeah, like girls just to charge more or less the same. It's like a worthwhile rate. So
yeah, that's good to have some kind of consistency too, because it would kind of suck to hear like, oh, you get this rate only when you're in Europe, and then I get paid more or less whatever in the States. Like, and of course, there is no standard for that, I don't think, but it's good to hear that it's like kind of along the same page. So.
Yeah. It is almost the same. Yeah.
In terms of, like, we were talking about testing really briefly earlier too. Is it the same standard as it is in the USA? Like testing for what? Hep C, Hep B, Trich, MGen, SIF, HIV, the CLAP.
It's the same.
Okay.
It's the same.
Good. Test. Cool. Cool. I like that.
But yeah, well, now I forgot to mention with the rates and what you asked before.
Oh, sure.
You know what is different? The in Europe, the taxes, no, and everything, and you have to pay here the agency. So I feel also here, like I will charge more because everything here, the lifestyle is so expensive, and like you cannot charge the same you charge in Europe because in Europe life is cheaper.
Cheap.
Like
yeah.
It's crazy. But you're gonna charge that crazy money also because just people don't use these rates here, so depends.
No, this is good to know because then again, like we have so many listeners that you know are bouncing around. I know some folks that are also moving to Amsterdam from the States as well, and just doing a different life and just uprooting and seeing what the vibe is over there, which I think is really great. Testing the waters, literally.
Yeah, everybody has different lifestyle. Yeah, many people from there move here. Many people from here move there. So
vice versa. I mean, earlier in this conversation, we also talked about, or you mentioned, you know, I don't even talk like dirty like that in my personal life versus like you, your character of Agatha. But like, I think this is also really important to talk about too, to understand that, you know, us as sex workers, sometimes our personas collide together, but I think it's also important to understand like how and who you are on a personal level outside of the work. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that you also want to talk about that today too.
So, okay, but like, I guess in the sexual life, you mean?
I mean, if you want to do sexual life, but also just like the differing experiences between your professional life as a porn star, but also your personal life in general as a human being.
Okay. So, let's see. I mean, I remember like not so long ago, for example, one fan asked me, he's following me for many years, and he always say like, oh, I because he met me, no, in real life, like in Ava and stuff, he's a big fan, no?
Yes.
So he always asked me, oh, I would like to see Agatha in real life, no, like the character, no, because he always meet the real me. And when I think about that, it's like, I don't feel... Anyway, like there's a character, like I'm me pretty much of the time. So what you see is what I am.
Right.
And in the movies, of course, I guess that's where I see more of the difference, because in my private sexual life, different. Like I'm way more shy. Like I don't know what's my problem. I don't watch people in the eyes, but when I go to the set, I do. And well, I've been growing also personally. Like before I didn't like to speak or watch in the eyes. Now I'm doing more, even in my private life. And I'm like, wow, how I didn't do this before. But it's nice because since I started this career, most of the things I've been experienced is like new, like for real new experience. So that's what you see, like my real reactions to pretty much of the new things I'm doing and I'm learning. So I think what you see on camera on set is pretty much how I am in real life now. Like, I don't feel there's like too big difference from the character and who I am. So,
no, I hear you. I hear you. Like when I'm on camera or when I'm dancing, I have like a slightly elevated personality, like always happy and peppy and just like always on. Sometimes when I'm off work, then I'm just like, no one talk to me. I just like need a minute. Like I'm in my hoodie. Like, yeah.
Well, also, yeah, through like, I don't know, some people always going to think that porn stars are like always, yeah, sexy bitches and everywhere. But no, we are just girls. Like,
yeah. No, it's so true.
Not sexy 24/7, just.
No, we're not, definitely not sexy 24 hours or 24/7 or 24 hours.
I think that for real, I mean, most of the porn stars, like we are a really sexual more person, like other just normal people around. So that's the only thing I like difference. Like I'm a sexual person and I enjoy that. That's why I'm in this industry.
Perfect. Perfect for you. Perfect for us. It works out. I mean, one more thing I just want to ask you too before we actually get into some fan questions, but also talking about like, because there can be a lot of travel and also with work, it is very physical. You know, what do you do in your downtime? How do you decompress and relax and take time for yourself and take care of yourself? Because that's also important too.
And well, that's also why I don't work often, because I'm sensitive, I guess, like many girls, and I'm one of the girls that get sick pretty often. So I just try to take long breaks. No, like I work maybe 1 month many scenes, and then I don't work for many months, and I just leave my body rest a bit. But then I don't know. I'm always working, no, like we don't stop. I mean, so I just try to take like physic breaks while I work. But then I'm all the time, you know, we have to be on socials, we have to be active. Today, if we want to do money, I mean, if you want to do money outside just from mainstream, and
it's busy. So, yeah. You got your hands full.
I mean, we're always busy, but yeah, I just try to, yeah, just take care of my body how I can. Like, I go a lot to gynecologists. I go a lot to the doctor in case. That's how I do pretty much.
Yeah, no, it's a good balance, it sounds like. And it sounds like you've found a good groove in the work that you've done. And hopefully, as you mentioned, the first couple of years, it sounds like, okay, I'm going to do like, you know, everything. And it sounds like you really like put your time in, and now you can just kind of chill for a bit, which is nice.
Exactly. Now
you've earned it. Yeah. Agatha, there are a couple of questions that came in from the audience as well. And I think maybe you can go ahead and ask those questions. Yeah. We're almost there. If you guys are watching on Patreon, Agatha's really sick. So again, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you. If you're hearing this on audio, you probably can't hear anything because I've edited it so greatly.
Amazing. I am glad you get it.
We're almost there. The first question is from Twitter. And I guess, like, we kind of talked about this today, but, like, this is more specific. This person's asking, are there any major differences on set with Europe and the USA?
On set? Well, like a big difference? I don't know, not really. I mean, the people is nice everywhere, mostly where I've been, so... And it's the same work. Yeah, like, it's pretty much the same work. You have to learn your script. You have to go do your scene, get in the character. And I mean, in the only things maybe I saw, like, in Europe, I work a lot also for VR, how I say. So I feel like maybe it's a bit more quick there, but I don't know. It just depends more on production than if it's in USA or in Europe. So... No, I think it's pretty much the same. Like, it's a day of work, you go do your stuff. People is so nice. The team normally is so good.
Yay!
And everything's That's great. It.
That's you good.
Know, the big difference, yeah, we get to travel more in Europe, which yes. I appreciate sometimes. Sometimes yes. not. It depends on the mood.
I like that. That's so nice to have that perk if you're able to have the time to enjoy it. Right, that's not just all working.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, you know, that's a good question too. Cause, like, you know, when I did do the episode with, like, sex work in Japan with Mimi O, Mimi was saying, like, the people, like, this, like, the production assistants were, like, there after they press cut, they're, like, giving you a cold towel, they're giving you the water. Like, so it just maybe different kind of service and stuff too, but sounds like more or less the same in Europe and the USA.
Yeah. No, the people is nice and, you always gonna find maybe some productions where, yeah, the team is not like they worry so much about you. But if you ask what and you let them know what you need,
they'll take care of you.
Yeah, they're gonna take care of you for
nice.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This last question is, who or what is on your bucket list before you go back to Europe?
sorry, again. Jesus.
Questions.
No, yes.
Yeah, I guess, like, is there someone that you want to shoot with before you leave to go back to Europe? Is there something you want to do whilst you have your time here in LA? Like, what's on your checklist, if you have a checklist? And if you don't have one, that's fine too.
I had, but yeah, many things didn't went as I expect, but it's okay because I'm here just for a short time, so I'm not gonna feel bad because I know the most probably is that I'm gonna come back and then I'm gonna have the time to do everything. But yeah, I wanted to shoot with some specific people, but it's really hard, no? Like, to get in touch in such a short time, like here. But now I know, like, now I know if I want to come back next year, I have to write already some people for next year, like, plan everything with more time. And also, yeah, like, in every sense, like, I wanted to visit many places. I wanted to shoot with many people. I wanted to participate in more things. But in 3 months, it's like, nah, I cannot do nothing. So I'm not going to. Yeah, like, I'm not going to be frustrated about this. I'm just going to think, okay, next time I'm here, I want to shoot for some companies. Also, I couldn't because, of course, I don't have all my paperwork. So it's okay. Next time, for sure, I'm going to do everything, hopefully.
Yeah. No, yeah, fingers crossed. Just more incentive for you to come back. I guess, like, for those, maybe there are, and I do have a lot of European listeners as well, but, like, what's your advice if there is someone coming from Europe that's wanting to shoot with folks and companies and agencies here in the States? Like, what's your advice for that?
So what I see, I think, like, the advice I can give is just to ask a lot, like, get the reference, because I heard many different experiences, no? And also people got some girls had some bad experience because they didn't know with which agency. Maybe they just heard about one agency. But before coming here, you better investigate and see all the agencies and talk with everyone and check about the reference and just try to come here like feeling safe and nice, like don't be worried about your situation or because yeah, I mean it's different, no? Like just starting by the contract, like here you have to make contract, there not, so that's something I don't know, I feel like we all have to be careful. Because I heard many things, but I think you can avoid many things just trying to get as much information as you can and try to make the things right. Because also I know many people come here and maybe did things different way because they didn't knew. And yeah, then they maybe got problems. So let's see. Just try to be careful and ask and talk with people and
ask questions. People do want to help you out in this community. Like people want to uplift each other and just support each other and they want you to be successful too. So I guess, yeah, just do your research and make sure you have the right paperwork and stuff for visas and stuff too, if that's going to be a thing, if that's going to be a long-term goal, and make sure you're not breaching anything. Cause with, at least with Canada and the USA, and I'm sure just anywhere going in and out of the States, I can't stop hearing stories about them cracking down on sex workers. So unfortunately, we have to take extra precaution in this industry in order to be safe and to not get any bans or being suspended from entering the States. So
yeah, no, I see. And I think because many of the girls also start like me, like, well, like we hear a few things and that's okay for us, but no, it's better to, yeah, to just research a lot before you want to become come in this industry, so you avoid any kind of bad experience. Just try to talk with people, yeah, a lot.
Yeah, good advice for sure. And hopefully this episode's also helped some folks as well. And all of your experience and this whole conversation has been very insightful. So thank you. Agatha, before we go, where can we all find you? Links, all the things, clip sites.
Well, so I call the same in every platform, more or less. I just have a few differences, but maybe it can be hard because I'm shadow banned everywhere. So, for example, on Instagram, I'm Agatha Vega, like you hear, normal. And then at the end, OFCC. And then on Twitter, the same but different, Agatha Vega with 2 A at the end, official of SC.
Oh my gosh.
Surprise! Kind of annoying, but if you're searching me in any platform with Agatha Vega, for sure you're going to find me. You just have to maybe search and the profile with more followers, that's me, because of course there's many
fake scam accounts.
yeah. It happens to all of us. So,
of
yeah,
course. for everyone else listening at home, this is me. If you want to get in touch with me, I am on X or Twitter or whatever. Stripped by Sia. I'm on Instagram, Stripped by Sia Podcast over there. Still trying to regrow that account because also banned. Not banned, but I got suspended from my other account. But that's a thing. Again, if you want to support on Patreon, it's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And if you want to be on the show, please pitch me. I am actively looking for people that are wanting to hopefully come on to season 7. So pitch me with your topic of choice. Tell me all the things you want to talk about. It's all on strippedbysia.com under contact. So that's a place to do it. And new episodes every single Sunday dropping at midnight Pacific Standard Time. Do me a favor and rate and review the podcast if you're enjoying it. It's all free content for you, so I would greatly appreciate that. That's your only homework. But for now, Agatha, it's time to say goodbye. But I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here in North America, and maybe we will see more of you and you'll get some new fans from the show.
Yeah, hopefully. I thank you so much for this time.
Thank you. You're listening listening to Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia, music by Ted D, graphic design by Maria Bellandarama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.